Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. The significance of the Epstein story and saga and more. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. The media is constantly saying we need to get rid of all those conspiracy theorists, the QAnon folks who believe that there is a evil, satanic, pedophile ring running our government. And to someone who went to Yale, or someone that went to Middlebury, or someone that went to Stanford, it sounds so outrageous that there might be a pedophile ring running the country. And I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there isn't. But there is a news item, and I'll tell you exactly where I was when I heard it. I'm sure some of you guys remember as well, that was never really flushed out or investigated. We do know that the story was quashed by investigators previously. We know the story was quashed by media members multiple times. I remember back in the, I want to make sure I get my years right. I think this all happened in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. I remember it was August or September of 2019, if I'm remembering correctly. And Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. And a friend of mine who will remain nameless, who's very well sourced in the intel community, he's been on our show before. I'll just give you that little heads up. I'll give you that little tease. We text often, and he said, Charlie, urgent, call me. So I picked up the phone, and I spoke to him, and I said, hey, what's up? And he's like, I got five things. He was always on top of the ball and ahead of the game. And he said, Charlie, they're going to kill Epstein. I said, what are you talking about, man? Like, isn't that the guy that's the pedophile with the young girls? I didn't know that much about him. I vaguely knew a little bit about the Lolita Express and the island, but it was still a little bit of a foreign concept. And he said, no, I got sources. They're going to take out Epstein. I was like, all right, man, sure. What do you want me to do? He says, you got to tell Trump. You got to get him in a maximum security. You got to get Secret Service protection. It was like this whole thing. You got to deploy the agents, that he is the nexus, that he is the linchpin, that if you are able to isolate and get a little bit of what Epstein knows, you could take down, in his words, the entire cabal. And I kind of, and I'll be very honest, I was naive. I rolled my eyes. I was like, all right, man, sure. And our team can tell me what the gap is between the arrest and the murder or the suicide, as we're supposed to believe. But everything that he predicted came true. And not only, if I just add one more detail, he said they're going to make it look like he killed himself. Now, whether or not this person that I spoke to on the phone that was very well sourced and is very well sourced, and by the way, he's been right about dozens of things as he's come on our program. He was right on things on Afghanistan. He was right on many different things. He was arrested on July 6, 2019, and he died on August 10, 2019. So about a five-week gap, which makes sense. That means that the ruling class and the elite started to get very nervous and they started to put plans in place. And so August 10, 2019, I remember I was at Liberty University and I called this guy back immediately and he answers on the first ring. He says, I told you. He said, there goes the opportunity to bring these people down. He said, we might have other attack vectors. There might be other ways. He said, but this was the guy. Jeffrey Epstein was the holder of secrets. The keeper of secrets. He was the holder of clandestine information. This guy was where a lot of different powerful people went for, I would argue, demonic pleasure and satanic activity. There's no other way to There's no other way to describe what Jeffrey Epstein was involved in, especially when it came to underage women, which we now know is a verifiable and irrefutable fact. And so Epstein, we were supposed to believe that Epstein killed himself. And from the beginning, it was just so outrageous, right? That the guards fell asleep and the camera stopped working. And there never was a really a thorough investigation into this. There was never congressional committees. The Department of Justice, run by Bill Barr, said, yeah, we're going to look into it. Don't worry, yeah, we're going to do a whole investigation. Nothing came of it. And I think that the way it was done, so brazen, so flagrant, so nakedly wrong, scared people. I think it scared any person that might have had an iota of wanting to do the right thing, of wanting to investigate it, to look into why the cameras were turned off and did the guards actually fall asleep or to do a proper autopsy. Now, there is one doctor that is coming out and speaking about this, and he was on Tucker Carlson's show. He was there at the autopsy when it occurred. They're going to try to wipe this guy out too, I'm sure, which is sad and tragic. I hope he's protected. Play cut 37.
Well, I was present at the autopsy, and there were three fractures in the windpipe that are much more typical of crush injury from homicidal strangulation than from hanging. There were petechial hemorrhages in the eyes, again, more typical of homicide. And the ligature imprint on the neck didn't match the ligature that was present in the cell, made from a sheet. So I thought that made it more likely that this was a homicide than a suicide.
Now, the question that could begin to connect the dots, which is not hard to find out, not the strangulation and all that, unfortunately, we're just going to have to deal with the facts that we have, which is very limited at the time. But no, the question that's actually easy to find out is who signed the arrest warrant to arrest Jeffrey Epstein when he landed back from Paris at, if my memory serves me correctly, Newark International Airport, Newark. I believe that, and if I remember correctly, Ghislaine Maxwell was actually the one that told him to come home. If I remember correctly, Ghislaine Maxwell told him to come home or come back. He did it on trust. And as soon as he landed in Newark Airport, he was arrested. Play cut 36 of Ghislaine Maxwell now expressing her thoughts. Play cut 36.
I believe that he was murdered. Well, shocked. No one wondered how it had happened. Because as far as I was concerned, he was going to... I was sure he was going to appeal. And I was sure that he was covered under the non-prosecution agreement. But I wasn't in the indictment. So I wasn't mentioned. I wasn't even one of the co-conspirators. I obviously wish I'd never met him.
Now, we very well might be able to, I'm sure we can find the name of some judge that signed the warrant to actually arrest him or the arresting agents. That's not the point. The point is who's actually in charge, who decided we want to take out Jeffrey Epstein. No, no, not just take him out, but arrest him. And if you were going to kill Jeffrey Epstein, why would you need to arrest him, put him in prison, and then do it in a way that will only invite criticism and questions? And it does beg the broader question, were there people within the government that were actually trying to do the right thing? Was there a branch of the Trump Department of Justice that was attempting to actually bring Epstein and his crime syndicate of allegedly Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew and many other people? I don't want to say any of their names because there's some misinformation out there. Can you guys send me the names that we know that actually went to Epstein's Island, please? Not the ones that we think that we know. I'm just going to stop. And Bill Gates, Prince Andrew, and Bill Clinton. Those are three that I'm comfortable sharing. There's some that are suspicious that are right kind of in the murky middle, if you will. But is it possible that there was there were elements of the Trump government that wanted to actually take down this crime syndicate, and then other parts actually inserted themselves. I'm going to tell you why I think this story is so critically important, why I think this story has ramifications of the Kennedy assassination of this generation, that this story is so big that we cannot lose focus on it. But I know there are a lot of people in media that are afraid mentioning it because they don't want to get Epstein'd. I want to tell you guys about COVID Tax Relief. COVID Tax Relief is an amazing service that exists for you because of Washington, D.C.'s addiction to overspending. Again, I'm not a fan that this money exists or that's out there or that it's available, but it, as they say, it is what it is. Look, COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, church, or nonprofit and paid your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the Government CARES Act. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low commission, very reasonable, only after you receive the money. So go to COVIDTaxRelief.org. That is COVIDTaxRelief.org. COVIDTaxRelief.org. Check it out right now. COVIDTaxRelief.org. The Epstein killing is so important. And some people are emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. Oh, come on, Charlie, what is the relevancy here? It connects to exactly what is happening right now with the Biden document saga. It is the exact same thing that is happening with the looming, and New York Times calls it the inevitable indictment of Donald Trump. It's the exact same inner workings. It is a theme that we talk about quite often here on this program, which is the fourth branch of government. I refuse to believe that Epstein killed himself, period. From the autopsy to the guards falling asleep to the camera not working, this is not a conspiracy theory. In fact, I think you are a conspiracy theorist if you think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Jeffrey Epstein, who never had suicidal tendencies. Jeffrey Epstein, who was probably laughing and smirking in one regard that he had the keeper of all the secrets of the world ruling class, but he also was probably very worried that this exactly was going to happen. Now, the significance of this is this question that I keep on asking, and it is a theme of who is in charge. If you are not able to bring people through a justice system without their enemies killing them, then you do not have a justice system. How many secrets, how many revelations would have been made public if Jeffrey Epstein would have went to trial? Now, I know what the question you're asking is. Well, Charlie, why didn't Ghislaine Maxwell spill them? It's a good question. She might have been threatened. She also might not have known as much as we thought. I don't believe that, to be honest. I think she knows a lot. I think that her family and people in her immediate circle were likely threatened. And remember, it was James Comey's daughter that was the lead prosecutor in the Ghislaine Maxwell case. But Epstein was more than just a criminal. Epstein was the nexus. Epstein was the pimp. He was the pimp that in a very cruel and an unspeakable way was facilitating the prostitution of underage girls to the most powerful people on the planet. Now, if there was more than girls, we do not know. There could have been boys as well. There's some suspicion there. Now, here we do know this as far as a fact. Epstein's former pilot said that we do know Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, and Naomi Campbell did travel on Epstein's jet. And I think we could add Bill Gates to that list as well. I am certain of that. So we know Epstein was involved in this behavior. We know Epstein was involved in the shadows of trafficking children. And here's the guy that has seen and heard a lot. And there's a couple questions when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. And a very simple one, which is, was Jeffrey Epstein an intel agent? Was Jeffrey Epstein working for foreign intelligence? Now, I'm not the first one to ask this question. I think the theory is worthy of exploring. Eric Weinstein, who is the brother of Brett Weinstein, both of which tend to be more liberal. Brett Weinstein, who did heroic work on the mRNA gene-altering shot that we call a vaccine with Dr. Robert Malone. But his brother, Eric Weinstein, has a really good video. We could pull that video up, by the way. Again, I agree very little with Eric Weinstein's politics. He tends to be more of a Bernie Sanders guy. But he has a very compelling video where he goes straight to camera and he talks about his meetings with Jeffrey Epstein. And he talks about how when he met with Epstein, it seemed as if he was a simulation. He was synthetic, that he didn't quite understand finance very well. He didn't understand how he was living the opulent life that he was living. Now, these were all theories. But he did say at the time to close friends that have corroborated this that he believed Jeffrey Epstein very well could have been an intel agent, could have been a product of foreign intelligence. Now, again, we're now getting into speculative territory, but it's actually really important. It's super important because the people that are running our country, the people that have decided to lock us down, put masks on our kids, mandate vaccines, the people that keep our borders wide open, want to send money to Ukraine, don't just have messed up personal lives. We know that. No, they very well might have been involved in pedophilic activity. Not just pedophilic activity, repeated pedophilic activity. And yes, I am alluding to it and dancing to it, but my team wants me to say this, so let's just lean right in. Ghislaine Maxwell is the daughter of a famous British intelligence-connected guy, Robert Maxwell, but it's actually deeper than that. There are some Israeli intelligence potential ties. I don't know the veracity of that, but there's this. It very well could be that Jeffrey Epstein was a triple agent. I'm just gonna put a little bit of a ending on the Epstein topic. I do want your thoughts as well. freedom@charliekirk.com. But the significance is that I don't think enough people talk about this. I don't think enough people remain curious about it. And I have a theory about this. Not only did Epstein and the killing of Epstein fuel the legitimate questioning of our institutions, okay? It also angers me to a great deal when I have to see QAnon and they think that a pedophile ring, hold on a second, just back off, okay? Why do you think people believe this? Epstein shows that you should be open-minded to things. I'm not saying, like people say, oh, Charlie, what is, I don't even know what QAnon is, okay? It's just, the point is, are you going to slander or smear millions of people that want to question their institutions while Epstein was likely, almost assuredly killed in a prison cell? You're like, oh, shut up. Just take the regime narrative as it is. You know what? No. Why is it that so many people get involved in contrarian theories? Because Epstein happened right in front of our eyes. That's why. Number two. It, for all the media that says the baseless accusations that there's an elite pedophile ring, I don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly seems like it is. It certainly seems that the most powerful people, Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, seem to have frequent trips with the guy that was trafficking young girls. And the third thing is, look, the cover-up was so brazen, basically telling us that we are in charge, sit down and shut up. Basically, it was one of the few times that the elites just pulled the full court press card. They did it with Kennedy. They've done it with other things. They're like, we're in charge. Stop asking questions. We are just going to flood the zone. We're going to pull in every favor, every person we control. We're going to take this guy out. Now, the final takeaway that is the most negative takeaway before I play a piece of tape here of Weinstein talking about meeting Epstein. It's very interesting, the clip here. Thank you for getting it, guys. Good turnaround there. Is the fourth takeaway that is the most negative and the most depressing is that people became very cynical after the killing of Epstein. I know a lot of people that said, what is the point? They're just going to use their power and their influence, their proximity, to shut up and stifle anyone that might be a threat to them or might be a whistleblower. And in that regard, that cynicism is not misguided or unfounded, but it's one of the many tragic takeaways from Epstein dying in that prison cell. Here's Eric Weinstein, brother of Brett Weinstein, But Eric Weinstein's actually a really big deal. I shouldn't say he's just the brother of Brett Weinstein. He's a big deal. He's smart. I spent time with him actually a couple years ago. We disagree politically on many other things, but this is a fascinating clip here. Play cut 44.
Jeffrey Epstein was supposed to be a hedge fund manager of some kind, and he had extensive offices at a place called Villard House. It would be almost impossible to go back in time and fake trading records for a $1 billion-plus hedge fund. And yet nobody seems to have ever recorded a trade with Jeffrey Epstein. We don't know where he did prime brokerage. There are no financial records that explain his fortune. I did not believe that Jeffrey Epstein was a hedge fund manager. And I, in fact, called my wife at the time and I said, this man appears to be a construct. And she said, what do you mean by a construct? And I said, it's like they've hired an actor to play a hedge fund manager. He didn't have any of the substance that you would normally associate with people of that class. I'm not saying he wasn't smart, but he was glib, and he lived essentially like he was Gatsby.
Essentially like he was Gatsby. No financial records, no one did a trade with him, yet he flew around on Gulf Streams, had the most expensive property in Central Park West, if I'm not mistaken, right near Central Park, had the most expensive properties in Paris, owned an island in the Caribbean, owned hundreds of acres in New Mexico, which is not cheap, and a whole compound there, had one of the most expensive properties in London, and jetted around the world. And one of the arguments that Eric Weinstein made is that there are gradations to your wealth. If you're worth $100 million, you act in a certain way. If you're worth $800 million, you act in a certain way. I mean, not act a certain way personally, just how openly you fly private and you buy properties. Online for years, they said Jeffrey Epstein was worth $300 to $400 million, but he certainly acted like somebody that was worth $8 to $9 billion, buying islands, flying on your Gulfstream constantly, buying extraordinarily expensive art. No, I mean, it does suggest and open the question, was this subsidized by a sovereign nation? What sovereign nation? We do not know. But it certainly seems like that. And you connect that with this hypothesis that Eric has, which is he very well might have been a simulation. So now we're getting deeper into not just the fact that there very well was a pedophile ring that interested the elites and the ruling class of our country, not only the fact that he was taken out, but also the fact that countries that we might be favorable with or not so favorable with, but I don't think he was a construct of Iran, China, or North Korea. So then what foreign intelligence agencies would do this? I'll allow you guys to do your own research and try to figure that out, but it's quite fascinating. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to get to some other stories here. I've spent more time on the Epstein saga than I anticipated. But please email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. What do you think happened with him? What is your level or your temperature of curiosity with Jeffrey Epstein? Okay, I want to get to this story here. Play a piece of tape for you guys. And look, the Biden document saga connects directly to this. I want to go to MSNBC's Morning Joe. Morning Joe probably received a text message from his handlers from the intel agencies, saying, Joe, you got a green light to go after Joe Biden. We're trying to take him out. Make sure you start screaming in the morning with Mika. Play cut 33.
You know, what is 25 years ago, 24 years ago, I'm still not saying anything about classified briefings I got just because you don't take a chance.
You know who knows that? You know who knows that better than anyone? Joe Biden.
And it doesn't seem that way, Mike. It doesn't seem that way, this was incredibly, Mike. Why are there so many classified documents?
Joe, it's incredibly.
At the Penn Center, why are there classified documents in his garage? Why are there classified documents in his home?
Yeah, Joe, thanks for the performance, the theatrical outrage. That's the least of your concerns. Joe, were you screaming into the camera when the Hunter Biden laptop story has been covered by Miranda Devine brilliantly and many others over the last year and a half? No. Joe Scarborough, they have found the approved attack vector of Joe Biden. You see, as soon as you get into the laptop stuff, you get into foreign treason and business deals, you get into Ukraine, you get into all that stuff. No. But the attack vector that they are comfortable focusing on. It's not embezzlement. It's not taxes. No, it's where you staged your documents, because it plays into a couple things. Staging documents means that the entire ruling regime will not have their current business dealings questioned, especially with China. The document retention issue and the classified documents also affords the opportunity for them to be able to blame it on Joe Biden being clumsy or aloof. But notice how passionate Joe Scarborough is about document retention. That's strange, isn't it? Why are they all of a sudden so fired up about where they keep their documents? The answer is they're not actually fired up. They want to get rid of Joe Biden. They want to get rid of Joe Biden, and they've wanted it for quite some time. Joe Biden never should have been president. There's a lot of people that are bitter and sour that Joe Biden is president. I want to get to who they are going to replace him with, or try to, in my personal opinion. I think they're having tryouts. They could either have the gay cyborg, or they can have Bane from California. Let's start with Cut 41.
I mean, the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact.
But there's many people in this country that support the Second Amendment and our lawful gun owners.
Yeah, I have great respect. I have no ideological opposition to someone reasonably and responsibly owning firearms and getting background checks and being trained.
That's Gavin Newsom, who's one of the people they might try to replace him with. And now Pete Buttigieg, the automaton who says he breastfeeds. I will do whatever the tech companies tell me to do. Cut 40.
We're also looking at what's going to benefit our supply chains, lead to economic strength, support jobs. We're looking at investments that are fair, that contribute to equitable economic growth. We're looking at climate impacts, because every transportation decision in the 21st century is a climate decision, whether we recognize it or not.
I am very articulate. Didn't you know that? I chest feed, and I'm gay. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. January is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and we're taking a stand and making a difference. What if I told you that you could save a baby's life for just $28? Well, it's true. Preborn is a ministry doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. We know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. Your gift today can save babies' lives. $140 can save 5 mothers a free ultrasound and save babies. $280 can save 10 babies. And just $28 a month can save a baby for less than $1 a day. And a $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or 5 or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. There's no better time than the Sanctity of Human Life Month to save a baby. Join us. Call 833-850-BABY or go to preborn.org. Okay, so there was a mass shooting in LA County in Monterey Park, California. Investigators searching for a motive Monday in the worst shooting in LA County history. So the gunman was previously arrested for illegally possessing a firearm, had a rifle at home. Hundreds of rounds of ammunition appeared to be manufacturing gun silencers. He's a 72-year-old. His name is Hu Can Tran. Hu Can Tran? He gunned down patrons Saturday night at a ballroom dance where tens of thousands of people attended a lunar New Year festivity earlier that evening. Tran later killed himself as the police closed down on him. As the monster he is, he killed himself. What drove a madman to do this? We do not know, but we intend to find out. Now, what's interesting is that the press seemed to be they were licking their chops, hoping this was some sort of a white supremacist, that this could confirm their narrative and to confirm their objective of trying to continue the anti-white crusade that is in our country. But that's not what happened. This turns to be tangentially connected to Chinese New Year celebrations. The USA Today headline was, Asian Americans say that Monterey Park killings revive fears, trauma, and rising anti-Asian hate around the United States. So they were really disappointed that the shooter himself was actually Asian. Now, there is no rising anti-Asian hate. This is a lie. It's a complete fiction. It's invented by the media because they wanted to say Trump was evil for calling the Chinese coronavirus the China virus that I actually could take some credit for, but that's a long, fun story, and I'm proud of it. In fact, Asians were a smaller share of murder victims in 2020 than they were in the years leading up to it. This is all just media hysteria used to attack Trump, Republicans, and white people by trying to tar them as racist murderers. Now, we have two back-to-back mass shootings, both committed by Asians. Why is the media not saying, stop Asian mass shootings? That would be unfair. I wouldn't like it. You wouldn't either. The two shooters are Hu Can Tran and Zhao Chun Li, who is the Half Moon Bay shooter. What's driving all this? Well, let's play cut 12 of LA County Sheriff Robert Luna. Play cut 12.
California has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, but yet look what we just had today. So let's look at across our nation, see what works and what doesn't. But I could tell you this, the status quo is not working. So we need to reexamine what we're doing and what may work better.
Now, the media is going to say this is because of assault rifles, which is a made-up designation, by the way. It doesn't exist. Somebody went on television recently and said AR stands for assault rifle. I think it was Geraldo or something. It doesn't. It stands for Armalite. It's a brand of a firearm. But they didn't use a semi-automatic rifle. They didn't use a machine gun. No. The guns were used with a pistol. That's right. A pistol. Play cut 13.
The weapon that we recovered at that second scene, I'm describing as a magazine-fed semi-automatic assault pistol. Not an assault rifle, but an assault pistol that had an extended large-capacity magazine.
Now, I'm not really sure what an assault pistol is. I suppose it could be a reconfigured handgun that allows for more magazine capacity, as he said, but that sounds like again, a made-up designation to make it seem more spooky than it really is. One of the leading liberals on Twitter says, "My heart is breaking over this Monterey Park shooting. It's one of the most AAPI-populated cities in the U.S., and this occurred on the eve of Lunar New Year. F Trump and the right for instigating this rise in anti-Asian hate. F your guns. This has to stop." Esther Shang, or Tang, or whatever. "What I want to say is happy Lunar New Year. Another mass shooting, Monterey Park, still surprised. Siloed all the time. Our joy, our resistance. Never knew the safety you profess to miss. Can we please build a coalition against white supremacy when your surprise is done?" Yeah, it's Asians killing Asians, actually, not white people. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.